Hey, we're studying the book of Romans. And there is so much truth in this book. And I want to encourage you not just to listen on Sunday mornings, but to study on your own. Listen to the podcast again. Read over the chapters that we're going through. Ask God to illuminate these passages to us. God has a lot for us in this book of Romans. He really does. The focus, at least so far, and we're in chapter 5, has been the gift of righteousness, or the gift of justification. We have been justified. We have been declared righteous. That is a gift that God has given us by the blood of Jesus. Without this gift, we find ourselves condemned. We have no hope to be able to have communion with the holy God. That's because sin has blocked the way. But now, through the gift of righteousness, we have been declared righteous. We have been justified. Someone said it this way, it's just as justification is, could be defined as just as if I'd never sinned. I can stand before holy God. So what does this mean, the gift of righteousness? Practically, well, there's several things. First of all, we can have communion with God. That's right. We cannot just talk about God, but we can have a living relationship with Him. We can have eternal life. Because we stand righteous before Him, we can live forever and ever and be in the presence of God forever and ever. We can also be in right relationship with Him forever, including today. In other words, we stand continually righteous before Almighty God. And these are things that we've talked about over the last few months. Last week, Bobby started with Romans chapter 5, and let's just kind of read verses 1 and 2 again. Therefore, having been justified by faith, or have been made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have peace now, true peace, because we have been justified. And then it goes on and says, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. So something else happens. We, all of a sudden, we gain entrance into the grace of God because of this gift. Now we can actually stand in this grace of God. And much of chapter 5, especially what we're talking about today, relates to God's grace. By the way, what is God's grace again? We could talk hours about it. A very short definition is God's favor, God's blessing poured out upon us, freely given to us. It's something that's supernatural, because all of a sudden we have access to His strength, to His wisdom, to His joy, to His love. In fact, I think it's 2 Peter says, we have access to everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. It's His divine power. It's something supernatural. That is the grace of God. And when we receive this gift of justification, it says it here in verse 2, all of a sudden we enter into a realm of being able to live in God's grace. Okay, God did all of this for us because He loved us, right? Even when we were, the first part of Romans 5 says, even when we were helpless, even when we were sinners, even when we were enemies of God, God provided a way for us to have this gift of justification, this gift of righteousness. Okay, let's Let's read Romans 5, and let's start with verse 9, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. By the way, you know, the book of Ephesians talks about the unfathomable riches of Christ. We can't even fathom them. We can't understand them. But we're going to see them in Romans 5. And may we see them, may we understand them, may we walk in these unfathomable riches of Christ. Romans 5, starting in verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. For into the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam into Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that, as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, that's a mouthful. And again, I want to encourage you to read over this over and over, because if you just read through it once, you think, wait a minute, you know, you're going too fast. There's a lot there. First of all, one thing I want to mention is that four times in this passage, we see the phrase, much more, mucho más. We see it in verse 9, we see it in verse 10, verse 15, verse 17. Because what's given here is a contrast of two ways of living. Or you could say two choices, or two different roads, two different realities. This contrast gives us a broad overview of what we've been called to. Let's look at it a little bit more carefully. Let's read over verses 12 through 14 again. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world. By the way, what man was that? Adam, that's right. And death through sin. And so death spread to all the world because all sin. For into the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam into Moses, even over all who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is the type of him who is to come. Okay, so just as through one man, sin entered into the world. It was Adam. And because of sin, sin spread into all the world, and then death spread into the world. I think we have a little diagram here to explain this. See, it starts off Adam. Adam was the one man. Adam's sin, he brought sin into the world. We can thank him for that, okay? But we participated and we carried it on. And sin always goes to death. So much that death, it says, now reigns in this world. So it started with Adam and it spread to all the world, didn't it? Death reigns. Now, death reigns here in this world because sin has permeated the whole world. So in the year 2015, the one that we're living in, we still have not been able to get rid of sin, have we? Even though we've made a lot of advances as human beings, we have a lot of technologies, we can fly around the world, you know, we can be in one country one week and another country the next and another country the next, you know, and there's a lot of good things about where man has, where mankind has gone. But still, sin and death are still here, aren't they? We've not been able to get rid of war. In fact, war is just as great today as it was 100 years ago, or not great, just as bad, I should say, or 2,000 years ago. There's still war. There's still hatred. There's still murder. There's still racial discrimination. There's still genocide. There's greed. There's pride. There's self-centeredness and selfishness. It's here. And in Romans 5 says, yes, that's because death and sin has filled this world. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about that the word for life in Greek is Zoe. I think we have maybe a slide for that. Is that right? Yeah, we do, yeah. We talked about how, really, the word in Greek, there's two different words for life. There's bios, that means what? The literal breathing, and you know, I'm alive, you're alive. You know, this plant's alive, this tree's alive. That's bios. But Greek also has another word, zoe. And that word is more than just breathing and existing. It means, and we won't go into all of it, but basically it means abundance. It means there's blessing. There's something that's overflowing within us. There's a spiritual favor with God. That is Zoe, okay? And likewise, there's a Greek word that sort of is just the opposite. It's Thanatos. And yes, it means death, as we would know it, but it also means condemnation. It means perdition, which means a sense of being lost. It means misery. It means spiritual death, separation from God. And so there's, it, in other words, there's another word for Greek that just means, oh, someone expired. He died. So when Romans 5 talks about death and life, it's talking about something more than just physical breathing, whether a person's dead or alive. It means, does someone have Zoe life or not? It's something, it's life that's overflowing. That's the type of life that Jesus came to give us. Sadly, the world is living in Thanatos. Spiritually, people are dead. They feel loss. It's not life. So when it talks about death reigning, it's talking about not that people are literally dying, although that's the end result, that everyone who lives on this earth will die, right? They'll have a physical death, but it starts, that death even starts even beforehand. You know, there's a frustration. In fact, you hear people talking about, isn't there more to life than this? And the answer is yes. there is Zoe life. Because what they're saying is, I feel like I'm suffocating. I feel like I'm dying on the inside, spiritually, my soul. And that's exactly what Romans 5 is talking about, this contrast. Okay, let's kind of read a little bit further. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more, by the way, there it is again, much more did the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more, there it is again, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So he's saying, but the free gift is not like sin. In fact, let's take a look. Let's kind of expand that. Okay, we're kind of doing dual translation here for a sec, catching up. Okay, no, that's okay. Okay, so we have another diagram here. Okay, first of all, we expanded this one from those verses. Before we had, Adam, then sin, then death. But these verses say, okay, Adam, there's one transgression, and through that one transgression, sin came. And through sin, there's judgment. And through judgment came condemnation. By the way, what's condemnation? Condemnation is that sense of just, you feel guilty. You just feel bad about yourself. You just feel like, I'm no good. And that's what happens in this whole chain. And this has filled the world to where this describes the world. And basically, death, thanatos, that Greek word, is the one that is what's reigning in the world. But these verses say, but there's another man who came, not Adam, but Jesus. And Jesus brought with him, the free gift. And that free gift brought us justification, that all of a sudden I can be justified. I'm right before God. And that, it says, gives us an abundance of grace, resulting in righteousness, to where I can reign in life. I can have eternal life. And this is not to the whole world, but to the many, those who receive. So and by the way, it says, if this is true, if this reality is true, which I think we can all say, yeah, that's of course, you don't have to be around very long before you know, sin's death is kind of condemnation, it fills the world. But much more, if this reality is true, much more is this reality true or is possible for us. And that's really the message of this last part of Romans 5. He's talking about another reality, one that is much more real. He says, I like the way he says, it's the free gift. What does that mean? It doesn't cost us anything. We don't have to work for it, do we? It's just a matter of faith. That's beautiful. And it says that how does it say in verse 5? It says, much more did the grace of God and the gift of God by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. God's grace can abound to the many. God's favor, His blessing, His divine power working inside of us. All of a sudden, it's possible because of this gift of justification. It gives us entrance into this world of grace. Not just grace, but an abundance of grace. And it says there, verse 17, much more those who receive the abundance of grace will reign in life. But you know, it's kind of interesting. Again, I don't want to just be throwing Greek words out, but sometimes Greek is so much, it explains so much more. Like this word receive, it says we will receive the abundance of grace. When we think of receive something, we kind of think of something that's passive. Oh yeah, okay, oh yeah, you gave me something, yeah, okay, just put it over there on the chair. But really, again, in Greek, it's not something that's passive. It means to take it or to seize it, to partake of it. It's something active. Actually, it's even translated occasionally as marry. You know, when you receive a wife, you're seizing a wife. You know, you're taking, you're marrying, you're committing yourself to it. And that's exactly what we have to do with this abundance of grace. God has it for us, but it's not one of those, oh, there's an abundance of grace available to me. Oh, that's kind of nice. You know, I'm glad that I got that. You know, no, it's something that we have to, we seize it. We grab it. If we don't seize it, it just sits there. And we never experience God's divine power working. We don't receive His, we don't experience His favor and His blessing. It says, much more, I'm reading from verse 17, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. I love that verse because it talks about God's purpose for us. We are to reign in life. That's Zoe, by the way. Not just, we're to reign with Jesus Christ. That's God's purpose for us. And through that, through His grace, that abundance of grace, we will reign in life. It doesn't say that we won't have problems. It doesn't say we won't have struggles. But it does say that we will have life. So it says, much more, those who receive, who take, who seize the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. That's God's promise for us. Let's go back to that diagram again. Same diagram as before, only this time you see this has been highlighted because this reality is much more than this. That through the one man, Jesus, through the free gift that He gives us, we receive justification and we enter into this abundance of life that we will live in righteousness, will reign in life, will have eternal life. The question is, do we have Zoe? Do we have life reigning inside of us? Because this reality is to be a reality much more than this one that the world lives in. The question, or we could put it this way, there are two roads here. There are two choices, and there are two realities, and the choice is ours. Where we want to live. Do we want to live? In fact, why don't we, let's just read these last few verses here. Verse 18. So then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. Okay, again, let's go ahead and finish this one out. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Two roads, condemnation or justification. Again, condemnation, feeling guilty, feeling bad about yourself, a sense of feeling heavy. There's always a weight over you. You can't even describe what it is. It results in what? Anxiety, fear, even depression. That's condemnation. And it describes many of the world today. On the other hand, there is justification, where we've been made righteous. We've been made clean. We have, as Bobby talked about last week, we have peace with God all of a sudden. That's a supernatural peace. It lifts us out of this into where it's bright, where it's light, to a place where we're receiving His grace. We're standing in His grace. These are two roads. Sin is powerful, yet grace abounds all the more. Actually, in English, it says grace abounds all the more. In Spanish, actually has a word for that. Sobre abundar. In other words, it's not just abundar, it's sobre abundar. It's not just abounding, overflowing, but it's much more than that. English needs to have another word, you know, that describes this. But that is what grace. Yes, sin is in the world. It's ugly. It's devastating. It's causing a lot of war. It causes a lot of hatred. It causes a lot of looking down at one another. It's strong. It's powerful. But according to Romans 5, grace abounds even more, much more. Sobre abonde, you know. But it's only as we partake of this gift of justification and we begin to receive this realm of grace that He has for us. And God's plan for the world is that we bring grace to this world because it needs a lot of grace. Verse 21, it says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness, all the way to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I like that verse. Grace now reigns. Grace that leads to righteousness, that leads to eternal life. One of the unfathomable riches of Christ is this abundance of grace. Verse 2 says that with the gift of justification, we enter into this realm of grace. Now we're called to stand in it, to walk in it. God's purpose for us, this is kind of conclusion, is for every one of us, is that we would reign in life, that we would reign in Zoe. That's God's purpose. That's to be a way of life for us. If we're not reigning in life, then somehow we're missing a vital part of the Christian life. We need to examine ourselves. God did not justify us or declare us righteous and then expect us to continue living in the patterns of sin and death. He has much more, mucho más. For us, He has much more for us. It's not just grace, but it's grace abounding. Grace even more. It's an abundance of grace. Everything pertaining to life and godliness, His supernatural power, all this is open to us, made available to us through this gift of righteousness. Much more will we receive the abundance of grace in order to reign with Him. Because we can't reign with Him if we don't experience this abundance of grace. And then finally, there's eternal life. There's abundance of grace and abundant life. Eternal life. So it's not just a temporary thing. It's not just something sporadic. Oh yeah, every now and then I get to experience a little bit of life. Zoe life. No, it's something that that we're to be experiencing more and more. Now, it's true. When we're in this world today, in this age, we're living in a world of death and sin. It's still fighting. Our flesh is still fighting. There's going to be times that we slip out of that abundance of life. But more and more, God wants to train us and teach us to live, to reign in life, to have abundance of grace, to have eternal life. It's the way. But after we die, or in this physical body, what happens? We just get a new body, don't we? And we begin to live in all of eternity. You could put it this way. What we're living now is like an introduction to a book. The real book starts at chapter one. Did you know that chapter one of your life in Christ hasn't even started yet? It starts once we get to heaven, or once we get to be with Him. Remember the illustration we've given before, that if you have a line from this room, from that wall to this wall, and if it represents eternity, then this life here is like that on that whole wall. Actually, that's not even accurate, because eternity keeps going all the way that way and all the way there. But that little dot, that's this life. Eternity, it hurts my mind to think about. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. So what we're doing here in this earth is just an introduction to the real life. But God says, listen, through this gift of justification, you get to experience this eternity, and you get to experience life, Zoe life. It's not going to be 100% complete yet. But once we pass on to chapter one, when Jesus comes back, when we begin to reign with Him and all the things that He has for us for all of eternity, then we will live in Zoe life and the fullness of the abundance of grace. But He wants us to begin to experience it even now. Grace doesn't just cover our sins. Grace brings us to reigning in life. Two roads, two realities. Which are we living in? Are we living where death reigns in us? Or Zoe? Let's pray. And as we pray, I want us to consider, where are we? Am I on the road of Zoe? Or am I in the road of sin and death? You know, it's possible to receive the gift of justification, but we haven't really received this abundance of grace, this Zoe life. So what if I find myself on the wrong road today? Well, the good news is it's not like here in this world. Today, like actually when we were, Judy and I, we were driving from France to Italy, we took a wrong road once. And unfortunately, it was on a toll road. We had to go about 20 minutes before we could kind of find an exit and turn around. So we lost 40 minutes. And if you're out in the woods, you make a wrong turn. And you go an hour this way. Oh, no, you know, I'm on the wrong path. What do you have to do? You have to go back and retrace your steps, don't you? And start over. The good news is with God, if you find yourself on the wrong road, He can pick you up supernaturally and put you on the other road. Isn't that beautiful? He can do that. How does that happen? Well, it requires we have to humble ourselves before God. We have to say, Lord, Lord, somehow. We have to acknowledge our foolish decisions, our disobedience perhaps. And we say, Lord, somehow, even though I've been declared righteous. I have that gift of justification. I found myself on the wrong road. And Lord, it's I've been so blind. And we ask him, and he will supernaturally take us and put us back on the other road. Even if you've gone an hour, even if you've gone 2 months, even if you've gone 2 years, whatever it is, he has a way of taking us and putting us back on. So if this morning, if you found yourself on the wrong road, maybe even just a little bit, I want to invite you as we pray right now, humble yourselves before him, cry out to him and say, Lord, will you put me back on the right road? I want to experience this abundance of grace that you talk about. I want to experience this Zoe life. And for all of us, I think we can pray that we would be able to enter into and begin to enjoy the abundance of grace that he has for us. Let's pray. Father, it's so clear from this chapter that much more than the reality that most of the world's living in, you have a higher way of life, that we can reign in Zoe life, that there can be a place where we can experience an abundance of grace, where grace abounds. Sobreabonde. Lord, that's the life that you've called us to. Lord, part of this gift of justification, this gift of righteousness that you've given so freely to us, is that you give us entrance into this new life. This realm of your grace, this abundance of grace. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've sort of kept living the same way. Yes, Lord, you've declared us righteous. We can have fellowship with you. We're thankful for that. But Lord, you want to carry us further than that. You want us to live in the abundance of your grace. So Lord, we ask, Lord, that we would begin to enjoy and receive, to seize that, to marry that new way of living, this abundance of grace. And Lord, if we found ourselves off on the wrong road, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to kind of retrace our steps, that somehow, Lord, supernaturally, you'll lift us up and you'll place us on the right road. And Lord, if that's our case, we cry out to you. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us, that you would forgive us of our disobedience, our foolish decisions, whatever it's been, and that you would place us back on the road that you have for us. The road that is much more than the road that we've been living in. Lord, open our eyes to understand these unfathomable riches of Christ. One of which is that you have given us entrance into this whole realm of abundance of grace. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.